I saw this spring autumn challenge, and the first thing I liked was challenge, because I'm a bit competitive. So I really like the idea of doing a challenge, and hey, it's easy. It's just a challenge. The second thing I really liked, 66 days and the rationale behind. You need 66 days to really change your habits. You've wrote some stuff on your website. I Googled it to make sure that it's not bullshit. So yeah, I found out there's a truth behind it. I like this idea. I will challenge myself for 66 days.
Welcome to the tribe. This is your weekly podcast from Tribe Sober. Whether you're already sober, striving to be sober, or just plain sober curious, you need a tribe. You need a tribe because it's so hard to do this alone. You need a tribe because you need support. And that's where we come in. Here at Tribe Sober, we've got your back. Here at Tribe Sober, we have people at all stages of the journey, all helping each other to stay on track. On this podcast, we've got recovery stories to inspire you, experts to inform you, and plenty of advice on how to ditch the drink and change your life. So here's your host, tribe leader, Janet Gorond.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Tribe Sober Podcast, episode 206. My name is Janet Gorond. I'm the founder of Tribe Sober, and I'm your host for this podcast. Here at Tribe Sober, we help people to change their relationship with alcohol and then to go on and actually thrive in their alcohol-free lives. And over the last 8 years, we've helped thousands of people to do just that. And we created Tribe Sober because we know from experience that it's really hard to change your drinking habits alone. Social norms are so powerful, and that's why you need to find a new tribe for this life-changing journey. Because your family tribe will just tell you to cut down a bit, and your drinking buddy tribe will tell you not to be so boring, whereas Tribe Sober will connect you with other people on the same path. Other people who will encourage and support you. Other people who understand the struggle. Other people who've been just where you are now. So at Tribe Sober, we're all about community. It's a community where everyone strives for an alcohol-free lifestyle, and many of our members are already thriving in their sobriety and inspiring others. Each week, we feature a community voice, just to give you a flavour of the awesomeness of our tribe.
Honestly, it was not easy at all. I struggled sleeping, I felt depressed, I had no energy, but I did some research on the theory of change in 66 days, and I kept going. And somewhere between 55 and 66 days, I found a new life. I slept well, I was happy, I was full of energy, and I lived life as I imagined it should be. I felt present in the moment, and I loved spending time with my son. I could clearly remember watching him take part in a color run. And I remember the joy of seeing him run and the color puffs bursting around him, and for once not having a hangover.
So if you'd like to join our warm and welcoming community, just go to tribesober.com and hit join our tribe. Now this week, we're talking about the benefits of doing an alcohol-free challenge. We've been running challenges for years, ever since our very first Dry January fundraiser back in 2016. We started our 66-day Sober Spring Challenge here in South Africa, but as we became more international, we rebranded it to Sober 66 Challenge, and we now offer it twice a year. So the next 66-day challenge starts on March the 20th, which of course will be spring in the Northern Hemisphere, whereas we'll be heading into autumn down here in South Africa and Australia. This episode is released on the 16th of March, so do sign up today if you don't want to miss the Sober Bus. Just go to tribesober.com and click on the Sober Bus on the homepage. And even if you're not entirely sure that you need to take a break from alcohol, these kind of challenges are a great way to test your dependence. Because if 66 days without a glass of wine is a breeze, then well done. You've got a very healthy relationship with alcohol. But if you just can't get through it or even contemplate doing it, then that's a sure sign you need to make some changes. So whether you're still drinking, in early sobriety, or already sober and fancy a boost of motivation and a fun experience, then the Sober 66 Challenge is for you. Rather than me listing all the benefits of doing a challenge, I thought I'd share the experiences of three previous challenges today. Three challengers who felt so great at the end of the 66 days that they carried on creating and reaching further milestones until they were thriving permanently in their alcohol-free lifestyles. So first up, we have Kai from Switzerland, who signed up for our very first challenge back in 2018. Then we'll hear from Christelle from South Africa, who signed up the following year. And last but not least, we'll hear from Claire, who is a more recent challenger. So let's kick off with my conversation with Kai.
Okay, and how did you find out about Sober Spring?
This is due to a little commercial in the in-flight magazine of South African Airlines, which I discovered many years ago when the family was having some vacation in South Africa. We had an in-flight from Port Elizabeth back to Cape Town. I saw this. I made a picture on my smartphone. I kept it for probably 4 years or so. And then I said, okay, let's try it with something like this. Yeah, it sounds nice. I think it was an interview. I don't remember what exactly, but I kept it in my mind. I had the website. I checked it out. I saw this spring autumn challenge. And the first thing I liked was challenge, because I'm a bit competitive. So I really like the idea of doing a challenge. And hey, it's easy. It's just a challenge. The second thing I really liked, 66 days and the rationale behind, you need 66 days to really change your habits. You've wrote some stuff on your website. I Googled it to make sure that it's not bullshit. So yeah, I found out there's a truth behind it. I like this idea. I will challenge myself for 66 days.
You're listening to a podcast from Tribe Sober.
So your objective was, I'm going to do 66 sober days and yes. See how it goes. Were you very confident that it would be easy, or were you a bit apprehensive?
Now, for the challenge, I was quite self-confident. I talked a lot about my willpower in the beginning, and you always came back on WhatsApp saying there's not just such thing as willpower, at least not in the long run. Again, I started with the challenge. So for me, 66-day challenge, okay, I can handle, I will handle. I already did 30 days before, so I knew this is easy. I think the 66, yeah, it was longer, but I was still confident it will be easy. Usually I did January. After January, I was moderate till mid of February. And in mid of February, we have vacation in Switzerland. We have skiing vacations. Skiing vacations means a beer at lunch, nice wine in the evening, only one glass the first day of vacation. After 5 days of vacation, it was half a bottle. After 7 days of vacation, it was a bottle. So my moderation usually went from the beginning of February till vacation. This time it was different. It was 66 days and Christmas was not directly after the event, after the challenge. I thought this is a nice way to challenge myself and then go on being moderate.
And did you manage to get through without too much difficulty?
Yes and no. Yes, because I knew why I wanted to do it. I got a lot of resources to read. So I read the book from Clara Poli. I read another one. I don't remember who wrote it. So suddenly I spent time with the idea of why drinking, what is the implication for health, for social life, and thinking about it made it harder somehow. But not just saying, okay, it's 30 days and then it's okay, but thinking about what am I doing? Why am I doing it? What might happen? Why are people on WhatsApp group telling me they are drinking again? Other people are saying, okay, for me, it's for good. I wasn't going for good. I was just going for the challenge. So it was a struggle to really think about and take time to think about what are you doing, not just a little challenge.
And what did your family think about it?
This was very differentiated. My wife was completely not getting it, saying, why do you need to be on some strange South African group to do a challenge? You just need to not drink during 30 days and then you drink less and it's okay. And I had to explain to her that she can drink one glass and then stop it or even not finish the glass, that I can't. That for me, it's really a help if I'm accountable to other people, not just to her. it was difficult for her to understand why I'm doing it in this formal way. And she also was not very happy about the reputation, saying, but if you do this, people might think that you have a problem with alcohol, which you don't. And I said, yeah, but maybe I have. I'm not sure, but maybe I have. And she was like, no, you don't. Simply, sometimes you drink too much. So it was an interesting discussion in ourselves. With my children, the discussion was different. They asked a lot of questions. Why am I doing it? What is my rationale behind? And then they opened up. I remember I brought my son to bed probably 2 weeks into the challenge. And he just looked at me and said, it's so nice. When you kiss me now, you don't smell like alcohol, because I really didn't like it. So, gosh. My daughter also had lots of questions. And at some point, she also told me when I was alone with her, said, sometimes when we're with friends and you drink too much, which was not an issue before, but now we talked about it, she said, I really didn't like your behavior. You were laughing too loud. Sometimes I saw where you're standing up, you didn't walk straight, and I didn't like it. But she never told me before. So it was something that came out discussing with them why I'm doing this challenge.
You can always rely on children to tell you the truth, can't you?
Absolutely. And it also makes it a bit harder, because it's just a challenge. It's just 66 days. And somehow I said, my son just told me, please don't kiss me when you smell like alcohol. How am I going to deal with drinking again and knowing this information I didn't know before?
So during the challenge, how did you manage your social life? I seem to remember you telling me about wine cellars and pressure from your father-in-law, and it wasn't that easy. They all thought you were crazy.
The first, I was also at this time working in a startup environment where people had beer at 5 o'clock. It was always beer o'clock. And one of the startups in the co-working space just came with some beer, put beer on the table saying, hey guys, let's drink. For me, it was clear, in this challenge, I'm not going to change anything about my social life. I'm not skipping the pubs. I'm not skipping the afternoon beer with colleagues. It will just be alcohol-free beer for me. In the co-working space, I asked, hey, please buy some alcohol-free beer, because I will also enjoy the 5 o'clock beer, but I'm not going to drink the alcohol one. Yeah, with my stepfather, it was a bit more difficult, because he's really into very fine wines. Alcohol-free wine didn't make sense. I had to tell, listen, I'm going to drink water because I'm right now cleaning my body and I just want to get stuff out of my system. Not now. My wife went on drinking, and clearly I said, hey, it's my decision. You don't have to change. The first day of the challenge, I opened a very nice bottle for her and I served her very good wine, and I enjoyed looking at her having her wine. And for me, it was really, it was crystal clear. It's my decision, should not change my social life, and I don't need, or I shouldn't go into judging others. So if you want to drink, fine for you. My decision is not to drink, at least for the challenge, which is still going on, but we come to this later. The thing that changed in my social life, I used to be the last to leave the party, with probably too many glasses in my system. I quickly realized when you don't drink, there are a point in the evening where you get just sleepy. When sleepy, the best thing is to go to bed and not just stay awake for the sake of staying awake. Plus, there's a turning point in the evening, depending when it starts. It can be 10 or 11, where people turn from very funny to very stupid. Those moments, I just leave. I had to learn in the beginning. I told people, hey, by the way, I'm leaving. Then I realized when people are getting drunk, the best thing is to just...
I don't know.
Next day, everybody says, hey, it was fantastic and it was nice. Absolutely. They have no clue that I left.
You're listening to a podcast from Tribe Sober. If you'd like to join our warm and welcoming community, just head on over to tribesober.com and hit the membership tab. That's www.tribesober.com.
Absolutely. I found that too. I think you are very wise not to become a recluse for 66 days, because we have to learn how to cope, don't we? And the only way we're going to learn those skills is by pushing ourselves and keep socializing. And as you say, you can slip away when it gets silly and nobody really notices. I used to say, oh, I'm going to go now. And I'd have all these excuses. And then I realized nobody even noticed or cared whether I stayed or went in the end when they got to that stage. So take us to the end of Sober Spring. What happened next?
Well, 66 days were done. And I wasn't sure what to do now. My plan was to just not drink for 66 days. So officially in my head, I could drink again. On the other hand, as mentioned, I spent so much time thinking about alcohol, the why not, the benefits, and there aren't so many, the downsides, and there are quite a lot, that I felt I'm not going to stop drinking. I just want to go on with the challenge a bit longer. So I decided I'm going to do 100 days and just prolong for 100 days, which I did. And going from 66 to 100 was super easy. I think already from 40 to 66 was super easy. The first, 30, 40 days were difficult. Then it wasn't difficult anymore. So I went to my 100 days, and probably the next question will be, and then?
Then?
And then we had a big family discussion again. I think it was a Sunday. I think my 100 days were Monday, but it was 99 days. And it was Sunday morning. We were all sitting at breakfast table. I turned to my family saying, hey, I'm at the end of my 100 days challenge. What should I do? Should I drink or should I not drink? My wife clearly said, hey, you can start again. Have a glass from time to time with me and just be moderate. It's fine. My son was unclear what he wanted. And my daughter just looked at me saying, seems you don't really miss alcohol. Why do you want to start again? And anyway, you shouldn't be proud because 100 days is super easy. You can be proud if you do 1 year without alcohol. And she challenged me to do 1 year. I said, okay, let's do it. Let's go for 1 year.
Thanks so much, Kai. I just love the way that the challenge opened up the dialogue with his kids. We don't want to burden our kids with our worries about our drinking, but if we sign up for a challenge like this, we can keep it light and involve them. We can actually make it fun. We can stick our 66-day tracker on the fridge, and they can be your cheerleaders as you make progress. I love the way his daughter told him the challenge was no big deal and that he should do a year of sobriety just to prove that he could. When Kai signed up for the challenge, he had absolutely no intention of giving up drinking, yet he went into it with an open mind and curiosity, and at the end of the 66 days, he decided to extend it to 100, and then to 6 months, and finally to a year. At Tribe Sober, we don't use the F word, the forever word. It's just too overwhelming to think that you'll never have a drink again at the beginning of this journey. So we advise people to change their drinking habits in stages, and that's just what Kai did. Oh, and incidentally, he's 6 years sober now and still loving his alcohol-free lifestyle. Let's go to our next challenger, who is Christelle from South Africa. Christelle heard me tasting alcohol-free drinks on the radio, and she had a light bulb moment. Maybe she could switch to alcohol-free wine and change her relationship with alcohol that way. Here's my conversation with Christelle.
When did you first start thinking that you'd like to maybe change your relationship with alcohol? When did you first start thinking there might be a problem here?
As you all know, that drinking wine, when it's the first glass, that is the bugger. Because when it's the first glass, it triggers you to have another glass, and then I must finish the bottle. And that started bothering me. And I think I've signed up for the 30-day challenge in January, and I think I lasted about 30 minutes. You know what? You get those days where you wake up 2 o'clock in the morning, your heart is throbbing, and it's jumping out of your chest, and you get this anxious feeling, and then you think, what have I done last night? Did I feed my son and my husband? Did I make food? Can't remember. And then you start negotiating with yourself, say, this has got to stop. This is not happening again. Until 6 o'clock when you start making food, and out comes the bottle of wine, and yeah, you have to throw it in the dustbin. That was terrible.
So you did the 30 days, or rather you did 30 minutes of the 30 days. I think
I wasn't ready. I've got a Fitbit. What really triggered me was my resting heartbeat. At some stage, August last year, it was 84. Then when I started with the Sober Spring, it actually came down to the low 60s now. So it's really, that was the main mission, was for health reasons.
I like what you said about you've got to be ready, because you obviously weren't ready when you signed up for the 30 days. But nevertheless, you reflected a lot before you signed up. You paid for the challenge. So you dipped your toe in the water, didn't you? And then you ran away from the freezing water again. But then, so then you saw the Sober Spring Challenge. So what made you think, oh, let's give these guys another try?
You know what was fantastic? Just before that, I heard you over the radio on Radio 702, and you were actually drinking de-alkalized wine and having a taste on the radio and saying how it tastes like. My husband was in the bedroom with me that morning, and I told him, I said, listen to this. I can actually do this. For me, it's about the habit. I love having my glass and my bottle, want to open it, pour the drink. And then that's, for me, that's my kick that I get out of it. I told him, I said, I'm sure I can do it, because I know that it's not the alcohol that I'm after. It's the habit. With the alcohol, it's terrible because I can't stick to one drink, because then the alcohol kicks in and it poisons your body. And it is with the de-alkalized wine, I was so ready for the challenge. And it was so exciting because I told everyone, my colleagues even, they all knew Christelle is not drinking wine for 66 days. And that was the best feeling ever. And yes, I went in prepared that 1st of September 2019, that Sunday morning when I woke up. It was like, I'll be fine. I've got my bottle of wine, in inverted commas, in the fridge, and I can do it.
Yeah, because we're always talking about being on a journey, aren't we? It's a bit of a jargon that we use all the time. But in fact, when you've got your alcohol-free wine and the drinks that you like, you've packed for the journey, haven't you? You're prepared, can't they? I was the same as you. I was desperate for that ritual. It slowed me down at the end of the day. But like you, I couldn't just have one glass of wine, you know, because it is addictive, and I would have to have more and more, and then you'd feel terrible the next day. But with the alcohol-free wine, I don't know about you, but I never want more than one or two glasses, because...
And I can go a week without having a glass of the alkalized wine now, and I'm fine. And that's the beauty of it, is if people can just see, because now I realize how alcohol was such an addictive drug, and that it wasn't me craving for the wine and finishing the bottle and say, oh, it's the habit. I like having my glass of wine or whatever. But now I can see that it's gone. And that's the beauty of it.
You're listening to a podcast from Tribe Sober.
When you signed up for Sober Spring, was your intention to stop forever, or did you think, oh, I'll try this challenge, see if I can last longer than 30 minutes and take it from there?
You know what? I said to Cliff, I said, okay, let's try this 66 days because I feel I can do this with the de-alkalized wine. And we started on the 1st of September. On the 8th of September, Cliff and I went to Menland Mall and we sat there and we had coffee the Sunday morning. And I looked at him and I said, you know what? I'm done with wine. Because he asked me, he said, what are you going to do after the 66 days? And I said, I'm not going back, because I can't moderate. The word moderation doesn't exist in my vocabulary. I just decided there and then I'm done with alcohol. I don't need it. I've got my red wine. I've got my white wine. There's champagne that's alcohol-free. I'm sorted. I don't even like champagne, but I love the non-alcoholic one because it doesn't give you a headache. So I'm sorted for life. And I just decided on day 8, that's it. I'm not.
And I think also the interaction on the WhatsApp group there, you begin to realize that people that are on this challenge, mostly they did it to take a break, but they're realizing that maybe life is possible without wine.
Yes. And you know what? The WhatsApp group is the best, because I thought I'm on my own.
Yeah.
And I thought, I'm the only one that's as crazy as hell. Who else drinks a bottle of wine a night? because my husband doesn't drink. He will have half a glass and then leave the other and say, oh no, it doesn't taste nice. He's got a headache from it. That was terrible. So the WhatsApp group was fantastic to realize I'm not alone. There's people that I can resonate with that thinks and feels the same as I do. And I actually, the Sober Spring Challenge ended on the 5th of November. And I thought, oh, great, that's it. I'm now Miss Sober forever. I can do this. And then I actually missed the conversations. And on the 8th of November, I took out a membership because I can't go without the connection to the other members. And I will be there forever. Because really, it's like we are there for each other. And if you feel off or feel down or go through a struggle, there is someone that's going through that same struggle with you, or there are someone that can just lift you up. The community is so amazing.
Thanks, Christelle. I love your story about sticking to our dry January challenge for just 30 minutes. I bet you never guessed that the 66-day challenge would lead you to years of sobriety. And that's why it's so important to do these challenges with a sense of curiosity. If you find it overwhelming to think of 66 days without a drink, then use your tracker to mark off your alcohol-free days and just see how many days you can rack up out of the 66. And last but not least, let's hear from Claire. She's a Brit living in South Africa, and as you'll hear, Claire just loves a challenge, so she certainly couldn't resist this one. Over to our conversation.
Let's go back to your story. You came back from China having put away quite a lot of Sauvignon Blanc, was it? Chardonnay, excuse me.
I think I've touched it since.
Let's get it right. And what happened then? Did you come back to South Africa?
Yes, which neither my husband nor I are South African. We chose to come back here and have never regretted it. And that's when I did a sort of a four-week stint of not drinking. And I've been running for years as well. And so I'm doing running, yoga, swimming, all that sort of stuff. And I tied it in with a race that I wanted to run. And then I'd have another break of 6 weeks or so. But that pretty much carried on throughout my late 40s and well into my 50s, actually. Yeah, until I heard your voice on the radio.
And what was it about what I was saying that kind of grabbed you and thought,
I think it was the timing. I was working academia, I was working at Fitz University, and I had really reached a point of burnout in my job. And so for the first time in my life, I was going to see a psychologist, and I was just driving back from a session with her, and you're talking about things, and you're being made to think and explore a little bit. And you came on the radio and you were talking about the Sober Spring Challenge for 2021. And yeah, it was like that. Before I went to China, I wanted someone to tell me there'd be no alcohol in China. You gave me this is what we're doing. And I thought, this is for me. She's speaking to me. This is what I'm going to do. And I did it. I signed up with you there and then.
You did indeed. Was one of the attractions the fact that you could say to people, I'm doing a challenge? Was that something that appealed to you?
Yeah, you're right, it was. I do love a challenge. I'm one of those people who'll say, let's go vegan for a month. Yeah. Let's do this for. I love trying different things and exploring. And so there was that. And at that time, I thought, oh, I won't really engage on the platform, on the WhatsApp group or whatever. But through my lecturing at Vitz, we'd had to put all our stuff online. And one of the things that I used to say to the students was, you must speak out on the forum. You must post things on the forum. So I decided there and then, actually, you better walk your own talk here, Claire. So I did actually immerse myself. I actually immersed myself lock, stock and barrel in the Tribe Sober world. But I extended the challenge straight away in my own head. Once I'd got past about 2 weeks, I thought, I'm not going to stop at 66 days. I'm going to take it to 100. Then I could see that was just before Christmas. And I thought, no, I'm going to go through Christmas. I'm going to take it to, and I kept extending it. That's how I did it. Yeah. And I journaled. I kept the tracker. I listened to a podcast a day. I kind of did Tribe Sober immersion, actually.
You threw the book at it, as we say these days.
I really dived in. And at times it was, but I think it's tiring anyway in those early days. There's so much going on.
Oh, yes.
And yeah. No, I just, yeah, I threw myself.
And you are detoxing as well.
Yes.
But I love what you said about doing it in stages, because for all of us, that F word, the forever word, is very scary. But doing it in stages, and already after a couple of weeks of sobriety, you were feeling stronger and more clear-headed and started thinking, maybe I'll do this a little bit longer. And that's how it seems to work for people. You get to 100 days, then you go for 6 months.
That sense of achievement, and one of the fantastic and really pushes you forward. And one of the things for me was I would think, okay, I've done 2 weeks, 3 weeks. And then obviously I always call it the itch that, hey, God, have a drink. And then I would think, no, hang on a minute, look at what you have done. And Claire has worked really hard to get to this point. Why would you do that to her? And that's always been a motivator for me. Like, I have silly things like, if I've run up a hill, I will never walk that hill again because I know I can run it. So I have the same sort of, I've done that. No, don't go back. You've done that much.
Yeah,
don't let yourself down. Yeah. That sort of, that kept me going forward. And I have a very supportive family. They were very accepting. I can't say they got it. I don't think they still get it. My husband is genuinely one of those people who alcohol doesn't bother him. I've said to him, you could go to a wedding and it wouldn't bother you that there was no alcohol. They said, it didn't bother me in the least.
Yeah.
And I said, wow.
So you have now passed your first soberversary, haven't you, Claire?
I have. I have had my first year of where I have felt totally calm, in control, and I'm just not in that place. I'm not in that dark, fighting, place of torment, actually, is how I put back on it. Yeah, that has reached a year.
So you've had three examples of people who signed up for our 66-day challenge and they've been sober ever since. And we have many more. Let's pull out some key points. The challenge enabled Kai to start a valuable dialogue with his children. He learned that they thought he was too loud when he drank and that he smelt of alcohol when he kissed them goodnight. I caught up with Kai just the other day. He's still thriving in his sobriety, and in fact, his 16-year-old son has announced that he wants to stay healthy, so he won't be drinking. Another benefit we heard from Kai is that he's in touch with his body. When he's tired, he goes to bed. When he wants to leave an event, he just goes. So many of us use alcohol as fuel to keep us going when we should in fact be resting. Well, I guess alcohol is fuel. It's the same thing they put in petrol, after all. Each of our challenges shared their benefits, but I found Christelle's resting heart rate share particularly striking. A reduction from 84 to the low 60s is really significant. And Christelle loved the community so much that she joined up as a member a couple of months after she'd finished the challenge. Not only did she want to be sure to sustain her sobriety, but she was missing the conversations. And Claire also found the community support invaluable, and she resonated so much with some of the other challenges that she felt they could see inside of her head, as she put it. Claire threw the book at her sobriety during the challenge. She journaled, she read Quitlet, she kept the tracker up to date, she listened to a podcast a day, and she engaged with the community. She did the work, and sure enough, she's still alcohol-free today, years later. You heard Kai saying that he Googled the 66-day principle to check that it wasn't bullshit, and it's not. For those of you that love science, I'm going to post a link to the research in the show notes, but here's an analogy that I think explains it beautifully. Imagine you're trying to get from Las Vegas to Los Angeles. Route 115 is going to be the fastest route. If you pulled over to the shoulder and began driving on the sagebrush. The goal may remain the same, Los Angeles, but you're taking a less efficient route. It's going to take more time and be more painful. However, if you took that sagebrush road again and again, day after day, tire tracks will form and you'll gradually be able to pick up speed. And that's exactly what happens in our brains as we build a new habit. we build a new neural pathway. And if you continue with your new habit, it will eventually become like a superhighway. So yes, changing your habits is hard in the beginning, but once you've built that new neural pathway, you've changed the game. And there's no better feeling than looking back at your superhighway and realizing, no, it didn't get there by accident. It was built by design. So if you're inspired to design and build your very own superhighway, then go to tribesober.com and sign up for the Sober 66 Challenge. Once you've signed up, you'll get your online and community support for the following 66 days. Let me finish by reading out a lovely message from our UK chat group. When our members hit their milestone of 6 months of sobriety, we promote them. We move them from the newbies WhatsApp group to the 6 months plus WhatsApp group. Here's Lisa's reaction when she found herself in the 6 months plus group. Oh my God, this is a huge surprise to see myself on this group. I wondered what the heck it was. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for all the kind words of encouragement. I'm a bit stunned and lost for words, to be honest. Such a lovely supportive group of friends on here. I couldn't have done it without you all. Here's to 12 months sober. This time last year, I was at rock bottom. Never again. During the early months of her sobriety, Lisa had befriended another one of our members, Hélène, who lives in Switzerland. Hélène reached the 6 month milestone at about the same time, so Lisa had a special word for her. My friend and sober sister, Hélène, we did it, lady. Your unwavering support has been priceless to me. Big love and hugs to you. Merci, merci beaucoup, chérie, if that makes sense. So if you'd like to join our community and hang out with lovely ladies like Lisa and Hélène, just go to tribesober.com and hit join our tribe. And if you sign up as an annual member, you'll get the Sober 66 Challenge for free. That's it from me. Thanks so much for listening, and I'll be back next week.
Ditching the drink is like climbing a mountain. It's hard, it takes courage and grit, and an experienced guide. And that's where we come in. Here at Tribe Sober, we've climbed that mountain, and we know the view from the top is amazing. We've used our experience to put together a unique membership program that will support you all the way. We've got challenges, chat rooms, sober buddies, trackers, and milestone awards, and that's just for starters. So head on over to tribesober.com and check out our membership program. It's the essential resource for anyone looking to ditch the drink and change their life.